Maestro, name that tune.
You're talking to me?
No, the guy behind you.
No.
The ghost.
What,
Jim
you
Mars.
Just start playing some music? I'm supposed to know what?
No, you don't have to know what it is. Just say, like, yeah, I know like, that. I know.
Sounds like from some 30s movie.
Sounds like Hal Roach Studios, doesn't it?
Yeah, there you go.
In fact, that's what it is. Now, see if you can name this one. Now, it's real simple. Real simple. Okay, you'll get it. It's one word. There's the hint. There it is. No. Sounds like you on the trumpet. All right, here. There's the name of the song right there. What did you hear? You heard bells. That's the name of the song.
The name of the song is Bells.
It couldn't get any easier than that.
Well, bells.
That's right. Hell's bells.
Hey, I've got a question for you.
Oh, my God.
How come you got all these great books parading across your website and not one of mine are on there?
All I need is a JPEG of the cover, and they'll all be up there.
Oh, well, I'll take care of that at the next commercial.
Okay, if you have them, send them.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be honored to. I can't even track what the heck's on there. This is not enough time, but be honored to have it.
I've been busy working today. Has there been any more senseless violence and looting going on because of course the Democrats and of course they're still mad, you know, because the Republicans took their slaves away.
They're mad about the Civil War, that's right. They're never going to get over that. Listen, we got enough stuff going on now. Rex Tillerson, I talked about this last hour.
Yeah.
Rex Tillerson threatened the communist Chinese. Did you know? You know, you didn't know this.
So tell me something that's not new. I mean, you know, we've threatened them for years. They've threatened us for years. Everybody threatens everybody
else. He actually threatened
Meanwhile, behind the green curtain, their money is changing hands and people are making deals and everything's okay.
As long as the money keeps moving, right?
As long as the money keeps moving, everybody's happy.
If the speed of money continues, everything's working. Here's for fun, though. You'll like this. This is cute. Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, in his confirmation hearing, said this. Yeah, all I have to do is find it. He said, see, details. He said, and I quote, "We're going to have to send China a clear signal that, first, the island building stops. And second, your access to those islands that you built is also not going to be allowed." Now, how stupid is that?
Well, why?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, why? How about how?
They have missiles that can reach all the way across the Pacific. If they want to build an island, so what?
So what? In international waters in the South China Sea, so what? I think it's kind of neat the way they did it anyhow. It's like an anchored aircraft carrier, right? They got a 9,000-foot-long runway. They got resort accommodations being built now. They're going to let Chinese take short vacations to those islands.
Okay.
What's the deal?
And if they hadn't done that, what would have been there? Nothing.
Just some coral reefs and atolls and...
Yeah.
And B-tolls and C-tolls and...
I don't know.
It's nuts. And if they try to stop the Chinese from visiting their own islands...
Yeah.
As they say down south, it's going to be, whoa!
I wonder what they say down in Texas is, that dog don't hunt.
That's right. That too. Now, what have you got to say about President Trump after 1 week?
Boy, well...
No, you can't evaluate
him. It's a mixed bag, isn't it?
It certainly is.
He's run run in some ringers that I wonder about. But then on the other hand, he's really taken some steps.
The biggest step was letting Jerry Kushner come into the meetings every morning.
Yeah.
Son-in-law. Of course, that isn't nepotism, is it?
Well, you know, John F. Kennedy did it, put his brother as Attorney General. Why can't we do it?
Well, they sent this Mossad agent named Jerry Kushner over to wine and dine Ivanka, and he did it. He did it. Anyway, whatever.
Well,
so, yeah, it is a mixed bag. I think that's a good way to put it. I'm cautioning people. Give him 90 days before you really...
I've told everybody, and I think I said this on your show at one point, which is wait till about May, okay? By May, you'll probably be able to determine for yourself, you know, one way or another, whether he's actually taking steps that are going to be in the best interest of the public of the United States or he's not, okay? But it's still a little too early, a little premature.
It's way premature. I'm not sure about his staff at the highest levels.
No.
Reince, Priebus, I don't think so. He's establishment, always has been. I don't care how much he butters
up
the boss.
And they run the same old money people in, you know. And apparently the argument
absolutely.
Is, well, these are the people who know how to handle money. These are know how money works, and that's why we need
and,
to put them
and
in.
And are we dumb enough to buy that rationale? No.
Well, you know, all I can see is, wait a minute, aren't these the same buttheads that got us in the problem in the first place?
Now watch that profanity.
Why
don't you
turn
this
around
is
and keep taking these same old people from these same old investment houses, the same old Wall Street firms, and put them back
right.
into positions of power? And what? You know, you expect things to change? You expect us to do really something different?
Remember, this is a family show, no profanity. Buttheads.
Yes.
Damn.
Yes.
I agree. 100%.
Well, it took me a minute to get to butthead.
Well, you got. You keep at it. All right, but seriously, you couldn't be more correct. It doesn't matter. They've all worked for the big heavyweight bankers. They are big heavyweight bankers. They were big heavyweight bankers, or they will be. It doesn't matter.
Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. It's years ago, back in the 70s, I guess, I got real interested in solar power. You know, I thought, hey, wow, you know, it seems to me that would be the way to go, because if the sun quits shining, we're all in trouble anyway, right?
Somebody said that once. I guess it was you, after all.
Might as well hang it up. So I'm talking to this expert, energy expert. And I'm going, you know, why don't we go to solar energy, you know, that'd be the way to go. Clean, efficient, you know, no radiation, and, you know.
What was that again? Is that anything like radiation?
Like, no radiation. And, easy for me to say.
That's right. You are a master of those complicated three-syllable words. That's good.
So he gets all condescending, and he says, oh, well, you know, son,
son,
that's really great, you know. Mm-hmm. It says, but that's 20 years in the future, you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Now we're gonna stop right there. Right now, today, it's 20 years in the future. We still just barely have it. Okay, we're still pumping oil. All right, so
we're gonna keep pumping
says,
oil.
Now, look, don't you understand that to power the city of Los Angeles would require solar panels covering the entire state of Arizona? And I went, oh, wow, yeah, I got to think about that. And, you know, that's probably true. Okay, so I go off thinking, well, I guess I have to rethink the whole thing. Until it dawns on me, where is the where's the fault in his reasoning? The fault in his reasoning is in his education mm-hmm. and his conditioning. He has been educated and conditioned to function only from the idea of central authority and central generation. So, yes, if they're going to, you'd have to cover the state of Arizona with solar panels mm-hmm. to generate enough electricity to power the city of Los Angeles. But wait a minute, what if everybody in Los Angeles put solar panels on their roof? Okay? And then, you know, they've got glass now that's even tougher than steel. So when you're building a new road, you put solar panels down, okay? And not only does everybody just drive along on this new hard surface road, but you can get energy out of it, solar energy. And you And you could put solar panels on every house in Los Angeles to power that house. And, whoa, then you got the city of Los Angeles is powered by solar power. And it's really not costing anybody anything except when you build a new house, put solar panels on there. When you can afford to renovate, put solar panels up on a roof, okay? But now, you know the reason why we don't do that. Because they haven't figured out a way to make a cloud hang over your house and cut off the sunlight if you don't pay your electric bill.
There's no metering.
No metering. It's all about central generation so they can control one of the most basic
needs of everybody.
Energy.
Where is that smartass now, that guy?
That had to do with solar power and energy power. But it's the same way. It's the same way with these bankers that come in. All they know is how to do banking. You know, what if we passed a law and returned to the crime of usury? And let's just back it all the way back instead of saying something reasonable, like when I was a young man, in Texas, in the Texas Constitution, if you charged over 6% interest, that was usury and that was a criminal offense. Well, let's just back it up a little further. Let's just go back and say no interest.
No
usury. Charge interest on a loan.
I call this the planet usury, and I couldn't agree with you more. There shouldn't be any interest. Muammar Gaddafi ran a whole country. No interest. So why can't we? There was no interest loans in Libya.
But, hey, don't get up and spread that word too far or they'll kill you.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I was kidding.
Everyone who's tried to mess with the basics of the monetary system.
It's all true. What Jim's saying is all true.
They get killed, okay?
Yes, sir.
Who threw the money changers out of the temple?
Yeah. Wasn't that your great-great-grandfather?
And what did they do to him?
Yeah.
Put him on a cross.
Well, at least it wasn't a $5 bill. That's a joke. Okay, they put him on a cross. Yes, they did, and they have killed. How many people have been martyred for trying to do the right thing? Millions and millions.
Yeah, probably millions, yeah. Well, a lot of those millions probably weren't actually trying to do the right thing. They were just trying to do. They were just trying to live.
Well, there's that, too.
Along, you know?
Remember, it's the speed of money. As long as the money's moving, you're right. As long as the money moves, it's got to keep moving. And
well,
it does magical things
that
way.
There are certain individuals who make millions of dollars every day just by the movement of money.
They don't lift a finger.
They have their sources. They pick up some stock or bonds or somewhere in Hong Kong.
Currency traders, too.
And by the time the sun gets around to the City of London and the New York Stock Exchange, they make millions of dollars.
Sickening, isn't it?
Selling short or selling long.
Why aren't we doing that?
Because we don't know the secrets of money.
No, we're too nice.
Our money goes to pay our bills and to buy things that we either need or want.
It's all about control, remember? Whoever controls your electric power, your water. That's right. It's just like whipped cream on top.
If you could confront a super rich individual and say, okay, I can give you all my money or I'll give you my servitude for 10 years, which one do you think he's going to take?
That's funny.
He's going to take your servitude.
Damn right.
Money's secondary. Money only gets them power and control.
It's just the lubricant of domination.
Yeah, it's the means. It's not the end. The more money you have, the more powerful you can be.
The lubricant of domination.
Yeah.
Subjugation.
Yeah.
Hegemonization.
Yeah.
There's a long word. That's
mortification.
That's four cylinders. Cylinders, that was a joke, see?
Right.
Not syllables.
I know.
So, did you ever have a 57 Chevy?
Yes, I did.
That's why I brought it up.
I already told you that.
I know, it's a great story. I'm going to tell you something, which I forgot to tell you last time. If anybody in Hollywood is listening who has any connections at all with any of the movers and shakers, maybe some movers and shakers are listening. I'll tell you right now how to make a blockbuster film. You got the baby boomers, right? You got the younger people who remember also. You make, with a new cast, another American Graffiti. Cruise night in small town America, a Friday night, with all the great hits that never even came close to making the cut for American Graffiti. There's so many wonderful songs that we play them here on the program sometimes. But make a new American Graffiti. Get another little ensemble cast together. You could do it easily. Have the wonderful old cars, classic cars. I would stand in line to see it.
Yeah.
Am I right?
That's a pretty good idea. So you're not talking about making an updated American Graffiti?
No. Just a whole new one.
You want one from the late 50s, early 60s. Yeah.
Same, that's right.
Yeah.
I saw a...
Well, I tell you what, now you're talking about my time. You know, we used to cruise cars and drive in.
Is your time. Who sang that song?
Rudy Valley.
That a good man. Man, you're going to make money again tonight. I can see you're hot.
I'm hot tonight. Carlson's Drive-In. That was where it was at, you know.
Okay, we need
and
that.
I think I already told you that
Friday night. Carlson's
Woody,
Drive-In.
Sergeant Wood, a Fourth Police officer who was always there making some extra money, being the security man at Carlson's Drive-In.
I got it, yeah.
But he was a hoot, and everybody liked him. In fact, just to show you, when we had our 50th high school reunion, whenever that was, 1985 or 90 or something like that, they invited Sergeant Wood to come. And
that's really nice.
Now, see, that was back in the days when you worked
that's
with
nice.
The police, you know, and the policeman was there to help.
See,
you.
There's a character in my new American Graffiti.
Exactly. And everybody called him Woody. And he went on to become the captain of the traffic division of the 4th Police Department.
I'll be damned. That's a good story.
And so at a later date, when I'm working as a working newsman, journalist, reporter, I'm down there, and I got to know Captain Woods pretty well. In fact, my favorite story is, I probably already told you this, but I sent you a picture of that 1936 Mercedes I have.
Yes.
Little bitty black car.
Yes.
With the suicide doors and continental kit, four cylinders, just little black, little Gestapo car.
Why does it have that big red swastika on the door?
I don't get it.
All right.
So one afternoon, I'm heading towards town, and I'm running out of gas.
You're driving the Mercedes? No.
I've driven that my whole life, yeah. I used to drive it to work and back, park it on the street.
Jim, are you serious? You really did? It wasn't.
Yeah.
It was a daily driver?
Yeah.
Good for you. Wow.
In fact, there was a point in time, I forget what the deal was.
That's terrific.
I think my wife was driving a pickup truck, and when she got pregnant with our first daughter, her stomach got so big, you couldn't push the seat back in the pickup truck, and she couldn't move it, and she couldn't drive the pickup truck because she couldn't get behind the wheel. So she was teaching in Fort Worth, and she took the little Mercedes and
was
driving
too
it.
Funny.
To school and back, and so one day I go to work, and they said, hey, we got an assignment for you. I said, the Goodyear blimp is in town. I said, go out there and get on the Goodyear blimp. I said, okay. So I go out. So I'm taking a ride in the Goodyear blimp, and I'm sailing across the skies over Fort Worth, you know. And I look down. I start recognizing some landmarks, and I realize that we're over the south side of Fort Worth, and I look at my watch, and it was about 3:40, and I thought, Carol will be out of school by now. She's probably heading home. And so I look down. It's like, you know, you're looking at the houses and the streets, but it's
I
like
can't believe
at a map,
this.
You know, it's like a 3D map, you know, and so I see where our street is, I see where our house is, and who's coming down the street but Carol and my little Mercedes, okay?
That's funny.
So I grab my camera, and I snap a picture, and I have still have this photograph of my taken from the air, from the Goodyear blimp, of my little Mercedes turning into the driveway of our home on 6th Avenue there.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that great?
That's really good.
So, back to my...
you lived on 6th Avenue. I lived on 5th Avenue.
Well, see, we were just practically neighbors, except you were probably in the northwest somewhere.
Never mind. I was in L.A.
So I'm driving my little Mercedes, and I needed some gas, and it was getting late in the evening, and there was a...
When did you get that car?
I got it in 1967, I think.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And So it was late in the evening, and
you're
it was
going
gas. It was drive time, and there was a lot of people at this gas station, you know, and a lot of cars, a lot of people. And so, but there was one little empty spot there by a pump, and so I go puttering in there in this 36 Mercedes and pull up at the pump, and as I'm climbing out of my car, I hear this police siren, you know, and here comes Captain Wood on this big Harley with his red lights flashing, you know, and he comes roaring in there and pulls up behind me and gets off, and in this big booming voice he said, "What you got under that hood? I've been chasing you for miles."
Oh, that's too funny.
All these people standing there with their mouths hanging open, you know.
That's hilarious. You got that car in 67.
Or 68, maybe.
What? Was that always an American car? Did somebody import it?
No. I was, let's see. Okay, it was 68. I had gotten married, and Carol had been teaching school in Dallas, and I had been working for a newspaper in Lubbock, Texas, and we both quit, and we both moved to Fort Worth. And she got a job teaching the Fort Worth school system, and I got a job working for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Mm-hmm. And after a few months, I had some, this was BC, before children.
Mm-hmm.
And so after a few months, I had some money saved up, and so I was heading down to White Settlement Road, which was well known for their foreign car dealerships. And I was thinking about getting me a little foreign car. I was thinking about one of those, oh God, I can't even think now.
A Citroën, an Austin Healey Sprite.
Like the Austin Healey Sprite, maybe something like that, yeah. Okay, but as I turned onto White Settlement Road after getting off work, I saw that little Mercedes sitting on the lot, and I just went, you know.
Yeah, I'll bet you did. That is an amazing picture. I'm very grateful for that. That's a wonderful picture.
And I went running in there, and I said, "What do you guys want for that little Mercedes?" And they said, "Well, it's not what we want." They said some doctor brought that over here in the early 50s and said he came down in here and left it on consignment. I said, "Well, what does he want?" And they said, $900. And I said, "Well, it's sold. Don't move." And I rushed back to the credit union and dragged out all my savings and probably borrowed some. And I bought it right then and there.
What a wonderful story. And to 1930 what?
1936 model.
And it came over from Germany.
It's a 170V.
Yeah. And it was probably from Germany, most likely.
Yes. Yes.
Were you ever able to trace it back? You'd get hold of the doctor or anything?
No. No, I never did learn his name.
Wow.
So
it could have been at one of those brown shirt rallies. Who knows?
I know. You never know. But another funny story is in connection with that is that along about 1972 or 73, I made a trip to Germany, and I actually went to Stuttgart to the Mercedes plant there, showed them a picture of my old car, and I said, "Have you got any parts?" And they all just laughed and laughed, you know, "What are you talking about? We don't have any parts for that. Too old." They said, "But there's a place here in town that handles old parts for stuff like that." And they gave me the address, and I went there, and there's a little old man. He's got, it's just exactly what you'd expect. Just this junkyard crammed into a small space.
Uh-huh.
And I got a water pump and another carburetor. And I don't
That's
know.
A four cylinder engine.
Yeah, for a four cylinder engine. A whole bunch of parts, okay? And crammed
And you were
in
smart enough to grab them all. Good for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, and so here I'm coming back into the country, and I've got this big suitcase full of Mercedes parts, and it was so heavy I could not really lift it. I couldn't really lift it. So I sat on the floor, and I kind of scooted it with my foot. You know, I'd push it along. And so everything was fine until we get to customs. And I'm going, "Oh, my God, customs. You know, what are they going to do? Are they going to open this suitcase? They're going to see all these parts. They're going to pay all this money. They're going to, you know, arrest me for smuggling parts in the country. Geez, what's going to happen?" And I push with my foot, I'm pushing the suitcase up there, and I had another suitcase in my hand. I set it up there, and the guy looks at me, and he says, "You got any food?" And I'm all flustered. I wasn't thinking about food. I was thinking about all these car parts. But I reach in my pocket and I pull out one of those little packages of peanut butter crackers. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're still in the wrapper. And what are those, like 79 cents or something like that?
If that.
And I said,
yeah.
I held it out and I said, like this. And he looked at me with this look of disgust and said, "Go on."
No kidding.
So I
and you're pushing the suitcase with your foot.
My suitcase ahead of me as I moved on down the way.
Oh, that's incredible.
So funny, but by golly, I didn't have any food.
You try that now with customs?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well,
I could tell you all kinds of horror stories. I mean, not horror stories, fun stories. Nobody got hurt. It was back in the days, the old Republic.
Right. That's a great story. It's a fun thing. You got all those spare parts and kept that car running all these years. It's a beautiful, beautiful car. Did I send you the picture of the 31 Buick?
Yes.
What did you? I don't know if you told me. Isn't that a stunner?
Yes, I know. I can't believe you found that up there near where you live.
It's an 1931 Buick, an 896.
Straight eight.
It's an 896, yeah. But this has got a 350 Chevy in it. That's what people call resto rods now, whatever. Anyway, it's a 1931 Buick, an 896, and there's a space, and it has 96. I don't know what it means, but two-door. And what a strange...
All right, let me ask your opinion, because I'm getting ready to... I think I'm going to paint the Mercedes, okay?
We've talked about this in a preliminary fashion.
Yes, right now it's just kind of a gunmetal gray.
Yeah.
And which is just a primer anyway, but I think it looks kind of neat, so I've kind of left it on there for about the last year.
Right.
But I think it's time to paint it, and I'm either going to go back to the enamel black, okay, which is, I think, what it probably was originally, or make it into a staff car and make it camouflage. What do you think?
Don't do the camouflage. No. No.
Okay.
No.
I'd pretty well decided against that anyway, but I thought I'd see what your thoughts were.
There's a hyphen between the 8 and the 96. I was wrong, if anybody's looking this up. A two-door. It's a five-passenger two-door. And I got that original photograph of it I sent you from 1931. No, don't do camo on it. No,
okay.
No, please.
It sure would look cool, though.
I would suggest... Rather than a gloss black, I would suggest a satin black.
That's an idea.
Satin black. Or pink.
Never mind.
All right. No, seriously. Look into satin black. Oh, I've got a color for you. What the hell is that called? I think I wrote it down somewhere. It's a Harley Davidson color. No, that isn't it. Darn.
Oh, wait a minute. When I think of Harley Davidson, they were in all kinds of different colors.
Yeah, I know. It's a good color. It's something like...
Are you talking about like a steel color?
Yeah,
steel,
you got it.
Silver, steel.
Yeah, you're on to it. It's kind of like a dark gray black pearl. It's really pretty. A little bit of metal in it. I'll get you a picture of it. That's a great color. They have some real winners you don't see on automobiles. But the gloss black, you got, it's too damn much dust. It shows dust. You'd be wiping it down all the time.
Okay. Yes, that's true. And that's the thing about gloss black, too. It shows dirt and dust.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you write your name in it after 5 minutes outside.
I know.
So you get a satin black, and you don't have to put, heavy clear coat on it, so it won't be so glossy. But anyway, there's ways to do it, and it won't show so much dust. But this color I'm trying to describe to you, and you clicked on that. It's interesting. It would never show dust. Hardly. I mean, it's good.
Well,
anything right else that you people out there want to know? We're giving them the the high ball and the low ball on how to keep your car looking good, especially with the 36 Mercedes. Four banger. I can't believe you bought that car in 1968 and drove it around for years. That's a wonderful thing.
I lucked out. I told you I drove to work and leave it parked on the street. So I came out one afternoon and was climbing in my car, and I hear these brakes screeching and rubber burning down the street. And I look up, and here's another Mercedes about the same year, but it's a sedan. It was a bigger car.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this guy jumps out. And he wanted to know where I got it. I told him I got it in Fort Worth. We got talking. Turns out he had just come back from serving in the U.S. Army and was stationed in Germany and fell in love with the little Mercedes 170s and had brought back about three of them with their back seats and their trunk full of parts.
Funny.
And he lived there in Fort Worth. And he said, I can keep your car running for 25 years. You know, well, he was a liar, okay? He kept that car running about 35 years. And every time I had a problem,
What a nice story.
I know.
That's when people were people, you know?
The guy just loved working on them, you know?
How nice.
That was his hobby. Kind of like you and your train or whatever. It was something he really liked working with and on. And so he basically charged me for parts, but he basically took care of it. It was just what a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, that's great. You hear about Make America Great Again. That's the kind of thing that comes to mind with me.
Yeah.
People. Make the people special again.
That's it. It's all of us working together. All of us know stuff, and
that's
all of us can do stuff. You know, all we got to do is just figure out what everybody wants to do, and then vote for some objective manager who can say, okay, all right, here's how we're going to set it up so that everybody gets to do what they want to do.
It's called caring and sharing.
Yeah.
It's not a mystery.
That's right.
I don't know how we've gotten away from it, but we younger people now that. Especially the snowflakes. What the hell are they?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, if the feces hits the oscillating blades, I don't think we'll have to worry about them.
Well, they'll be knocking at your door real quick. You got any extra eggs, sir?
Yeah, sure do. All of a sudden, we've been losing chickens, though. And we've about decided that we're the victims of a chicken hawk. Because my wife's even seen it up there circling around, and I wasn't too concerned because I figured those chickens, surely they're smart enough to.
Well, they're not little either. How the hell's a bird like
bushes.
That? Yeah,
they're under the bushes, so they can't get them. Mm-hmm. But chickens are so stupid; they really are.
Yes.
I think God put them here just simply to give us something to eat.
Well, I've never seen a trained chicken.
They're not known for their brilliance.
Well, and turkeys are supposedly just as dumb or dumber. They open their mouths and drown in a rainstorm. I don't know what to do. You heard that.
I don't know. What can you say?
That can't be true. Now, the last time we heard about chickens at the Mars Ranch was you had this huge black snake. Wasn't that snake in the chicken house?
Yeah, but this one, something's coming in from the top. We went around, we couldn't find any.
Really?
Holes in the wire all around the perimeter of the chicken pen, and then we finally noticed that something had pulled the wire loose and it opened a hole at the very top. Probably raccoons.
It wouldn't be a bird. No. Think about it. A bird's going to do that, climb down in a chicken cage, beat up a chicken, mug it, and then carry it out, flapping through a little hole in the chicken wire?
No, that doesn't make any sense. But a raccoon could crawl down in there, grab one, crawl back.
Oh, yeah. Out. Yeah. Just follow the feathers. All you got to do.
Well, but see, that's the thing. That's the mystery. We haven't been able to find any feathers or bones.
The only other thing left, you know what it is.
What's that?
Abduction.
Hey, maybe so. But hey, As long as they go after my chickens and not me or my
That's
family,
right.
I guess
That's right.
I can live with that.
They're trying to figure out what the attraction is. Uh-oh.
Oh, God, it's coming on me again.
All right.
And it's always about this time of year. Oh, me. I think
it's all right. Don't worry about it. You're going to take care of business. Go ahead.
It's the south wind.
No.
Every time the wind in the wintertime starts blowing,
it's
from the
every
south,
time
it
you,
blows something in.
Every time you try to pronounce Reince Priebus, you start coughing. That's the deal. Well, good. Okay. Now, what weren't we talking about?
I don't know. I'm busy putting all of these.
Is your new book done?
Together, yeah.
But
no.
No. Oh, you're going to send me all your books?
Because you said you didn't have any, so.
I don't have any. But I do have the actual books. I cleaned out my bookcase the other day. I have one of them. And there must be 8 or 10 Mars books in there.
I know.
And not one of them is autographed. See?
You just have to wait till I can get up there. Yeah. And that's going to be a whole new deal.
You want to ride the train, you know? Well, we'll arrange
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
No, it's funny when you get books all the time. I'm sure people send you books, whatever. Hey, read my book. Read my book. How do I get my book published? Well, all these wonderful questions. And I've given a lot of books away. I take them to the secondhand bookstore and usually sell them. But these publishing houses send me books all the time. But the one set of books that I have, I will not get rid of. And that's, seriously, I'm not blowing smoke at you. Your books, they're so unique and so different and so informative.
They've got information that's still valid.
Well, that's what I say. They're so informative that you can. And a lot of books I have, I don't look at them for 3-4 years. And I look, and they're dated. They're gone. Yours aren't. Yours have, as they say in the business, legs. They run, and they keep running. That's nice. That's a good thing. Very good thing. Now,
all right, well, here you go. I probably missed one or two, but...
You going to send them all?
I'm just sending you Ed's attachments.
I got one that was Visible Ink Press. I forget which one that was. I remember that. Didn't you use them once?
Well, that's who I'm working with right now.
Uh-huh.
Maybe
I got an advanced copy.
Mm, really?
That's a joke, see?
I would hope so. I haven't finished proofreading it.
See? That's right. So I get an advanced copy. That's something very special. And then the name of the new book is?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to go there because I don't know if they're going to let me keep it, but I think so. It's Shadow of the Illuminati. Boy, that'll
That's
get you
good.
Blood rushing, won't it?
Well, I don't know. Get something rushing.
But the thing is, I want to tell you something. This book is basically, I guess, about the Illuminati, but it covers our entire history.
See? Leave it to you. Entire history of the civilized sentient
right.
species, the custodial species of the planet. So you've right. woven it all in, and it all ends up with the Illuminati.
Well, it culminated with the Illuminati, and then they got shut down as a formal organization. But their theology and their philosophy, the Illuminism, if
right.
you will,
right.
still goes on. That's why I'm calling it the Shadow of the Illuminati. They're not
That's
here
good.
Anymore, but their shadow is still being cast all around the world.
Sure it is.
Okay, got a little bit of time.
Why don't we just call...
How about this? You ready for a good secret?
All right.
Okay, before too long, I am working with a brewery in California, and we're going to have a line of beer from Mars.
Oh, come on. This is too funny. This is good.
And it all fits in. I'm working on this right now because I went back and found out that the earliest mention of beer in any written form was in one of the Sumerian tablets, okay? And and the whole thing was called A Hymn to Ken. I never can remember that.
A hymn. This is Sumerian,
and yeah.
They're talking about beer, and they the little mention of it is called a hymn to beer.
Well, that's what I'm trying.
So is
to,
this? Did you wait a minute? Did you get locked up with it?
It's a hymn to Ninkasi.
N-I-N-K-A-S-I. You
okay.
Cheated. You Googled that. Did you go to
no,
a mic?
I looked at an email I'd written on it. But, I had to remember. I just have a block, one of those getting old things.
Oh, no, it's just too much information.
Ninkasi, though, was reportedly the daughter of Enki, the chief Sumerian god, the science officer of the Anunnaki, who are now the focus of all these people who are talking about the ancient aliens and ancient astronauts, and they come from the planet Nibiru, and there's a whole mythology.
Ninkasi.
Of these folks, okay? And Ninkasi, now you can Google Ninkasi and you'll find out that she was the goddess of fermentation for the Sumerians, all right? But I don't think they may not mention on Wikipedia that she was the daughter of Enki. And Enki is the one who, according to the Sumerian tablets, mixed the DNA of a Earth primitive with an Anunnaki male.
And that's how he got smart.
And produced a hybrid called the Adam or the Adama.
I got it.
Okay, and that's why there was no missing link between Neanderthal and Cro-Magnon, because there was none. It was extraterrestrial intervention.
Well, this book is far more than the Illuminati. You better subtitle it, and that you got to be more explanatory in the subtitle. What's the subtitle?
I think subtitle is The Secret Society That Hijacked the World.
Yeah, but this is...
but it goes more than that.
Way more.
No, but hey, that's all fascinating enough, and it goes all the way back to the Anunnaki.
So that's where Adam and Eve came from.
Adam and Eve. Yeah, and and when you find... But when it really gets interesting is when they come forward, and we find out that it was the same group connected to all this and to the original Illuminati who were behind the creation of communism, then behind the creation of Nazism, and behind most of the creations of the isms, okay? And that's what we're seeing this fight taking place today between right now in this country. We're being split between the socialist, essentially communist, communism,
and
capitalism, okay? And these break lines have been happening all through the years, but it's the same folks behind it.
Oh, this is a good book.
There were these socialists in Russia back about the turn of the 20th century formed the League of the Just, okay? And then the League of the Just changed their name to the Communist Party. And I mean, it's not like there's just, guilt by association, they just happen to be in the same town or happen to be, belong to the same Masonic lodge. This is a thread that goes throughout our entire history. These folks have been trying to gain control over the world for a couple of centuries now, and they're still working at it. These leftist idiots in this country today, not liberals. I know a lot of liberals, and their heart's in the right place. Their head is not always adjusted correctly, but their heart is in the right place. And I'm not talking about liberals. I'm talking about these hard leftist
idiots
who are holding up murderers and rapists and people like Che Guevara as their heroes. Mayo Taysoon, yay Mayo. He only killed a few million more people than Hitler or Stalin, who killed, three times as many people as Hitler.
Right.
That's who I'm talking about. They are at the very heart being driven by hardcore socialist communists who want the same thing they were trying to do in the 30s and 40s, which is to start a revolution in this country and try to take it over.
Right. Right.
And try to turn us into another workers' paradise like they had in Russia. You saw how well it worked there.
A big hit. So these are all...
Yeah, we'll have a lot to talk about.
This is a very... How do you get these inspirations? This is a unique book.
It's not an inspiration. It's just following the tracks, the leads, where the evidence leads.
That's very interesting. I'm not sure about the title, but I like the shadow idea.
Yeah.
I always just call it Buy My Books.
Well, that's my subject line when I sent you those covers.
All right. Now, these...
That was your line, as I recall.
You said it one night, you don't remember, and I just remembered it. So,
oh, okay.
Buy my... No, I said it. I did. Buy my books. But I can't do it with the accent. Now, I got your book covers here, but there's some missing, aren't there?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, the UFO book isn't here.
I can't think of what.
No, the UFO book is not here. Oh, there it is, Alien Agenda.
Alien Agenda is there.
Yeah, yeah. I did. I found The Rise of the Fourth Reich in my bookcase the other day, and I moved over to be with its brothers and sisters in the Mars section.
Yeah, and yeah. I'll bet you, I know you don't have time to do this, but if you go back there and reread that thing, you'd be going, holy crap, I knew that. Oh, man, yeah, he told me that a long time ago.
Well,
I saw that before I learned this.
It's true. It is true. The information in there is extraordinary. No wonder you can't remember things sometimes.
No.
It's too much.
Well, that's because the world is a big place, and things happen, and that's part of the reason we're in problem in this country today is because we no longer have generalists around to try to put things together, or philosophers who can sit back and say, now, how do these dots connect? Mm-hmm. You know, no, we're all specialists today, and we all know our little speciality, and doctors know medicine, and lawyers know lawyering, and construction people know how to build a house, and your mechanic knows how to work on your car, okay? But they don't rarely ever touch any other field, you know? So they connect the dots.
No, that's true. That's your next book title.
What, Connecting the Dots?
That's it.
I think that's probably already been done.
No, not by you.
Besides that, there's still a few dots astray. You know, there's some of those dots out there that we hadn't quite gotten a grasp on yet.
I don't know. The snowflake dots.
Yeah. But, you know, just think about it. And everybody listening, stop and think a minute. Does anybody know anybody in modern-day America who is making a living as a philosopher?
No, and that was a very interesting label when I was in college, majoring in philosophy. Nobody knew what the hell it meant. They didn't know.
Know what it means, but nobody majoring in that anymore. They don't offer it anymore.
Well, I think the bottom line is it's become so pedestrian that everyone with an opinion thinks that he or she is a philosopher.
That's true.
What is philosophy? It's an opinion. I don't know. I just, that was something that was really an etheric kind of a thing to major in, and no one could really quantify what it was. I remember that.
Yeah. Well,
you would qualify
I call myself the redneck philosopher.
Well,
but everybody says I'm a conspiracy theorist, and so I finally decided that the
conspiracy philosopher.
Yeah, well, okay.
That's better than redneck.
And the definition of a conspiracy theorist or a conspiracy philosopher is someone who questions the statements and actions of proven and repeated liars.
Of course, and it ought to be called conspiracy investigator, not theorist, because
that's
these
right.
are real. The world is run by a conspiracy, always has been, and always will be. And it just gets easier and easier. The dumber we get, the easier it is.
I know. And after 2025, when every other kid is autistic, then it's going to be real easy to run the country.
Well, if Robert Kennedy Jr. has his way, maybe
Maybe we can put a grinding halt to that.
Maybe we can get that vaccine truth, those dots connected, and save a few lives from the horror of autism.
Really?
Wow. It's awful stuff. Go get some sleep.
Is that the music I hear? Is it already time?
It's time. Time for you to go to bed.
How fast the time goes.
It is. Remember that song? Let's see if you can name this song. Here, we got enough time. All right. All right, Mr. Morris. Let's see. What is that?
That's my...
Sounds like Ebenezer Scrooge's living room.
That's my old West clock.
It's a nice one.
Oh, it's really nice. It's a regulator.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha. Sure.
Yeah.
I'll have to say, I got a clock, too. Oh, we got a clock story. Not time tonight. All right, here's
not
the song.
Not time tonight. But this one's so cool. I mean, you have to wind it twice a month, but if you just wind it twice a month, it keeps immaculate time.
All right, here we go. You all right? All right. Not yet.
I'll live.
All right. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right.
Mm-hmm, by the light of the silvery moon, I want a spoon to my honey I croon. I love some ho-ho honeymoon. Keep it shining in June.
All right, now there's a song from the 1920s.
Was that Little Richard?
I hope so. It's what it says on the CD here.
Well, it sounded like him. Okay, so there. I got that one as my parting gift.
You got it. Talk
Adios.
To you soon. All right, that's our program tonight, and I think tomorrow night it is. It's Friday night. Hope to see you then. Have a great day tomorrow. Take care. Talk soon.